This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And Ciso.
Hello and welcome to Seaguy Social Season 4, Episode 32. We are your hosts, Ben, Ryan and Maz, and we are back, boys. We are back for a big episode. Not in the best circumstances. We're obviously out of the FA Cup now, so that's not fun, is it, anyone? But, Ryan, first of all, mate, it's Friday night. How are you feeling?
Cheers, mate. Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm looking forward to Fulham. Do you know what? Who cares? But I didn't want it anyway, the FA Cup. You know what I mean? It's gone. Like, as far as I'm concerned, it's finished. Yeah, it's frustrating. Classic birthday sort of curse, isn't it? Continues as the podcast listeners reminded me on the day. But it is what it is, mate. Like, do you know what I mean? It's not like... I'm not like disheartened by it or anything. I'm not completely down, if that makes sense. I look at the league, I look at the Europa League. It's all right. We've got a lot more to play for. We've got some big games coming up. As we said off air, we've got Roma next week, of course. So I'm still feeling positive, mate. I'm still feeling good.
That's good. You've got the Friday vibes. I like it, mate. I like it. And Ben, how are you today?
Well, complete opposite of Ryan. I'm not drinking alcohol. I'm actually on water. And I'm not positive. I'm going to remain and bring the energy that I had on Wednesday night, which was frustration and anger, basically. Mm. We got let down by a Jason Steele mistake. That's how I feel. And it was a massive opportunity to go to Wembley. Missed. I mean, Coventry in the next round. Could maybe they throw a shock and they could have knocked us out at home, but I would have highly doubted it. We would have been at Wembley again, hopefully getting redemption, because lost to City at Wembley, lost to Man United at Wembley. It would have been nice to actually have that day out and potentially, well, just another day at Wembley, really, but who knows what the result would be. So I just feel, I feel robbed of a trip to Wembley, to be honest. And people might say, you shouldn't overlook Coventry, but that's just how I feel. So I was pretty annoyed. I think the fallout, I wasn't surprised about the fallout, about the whole goalkeeper situation with Steele and that. It was pretty heavy. I do feel sorry for Steele because I was also part of it. I was pretty livid. I've done a couple of tweets being like, Bart Verbruggen should be number one from here and out. Still stand by that. I said that when we done our team of the season so far. Verbruggen was my number one. And also, I think we've done a poll on Seagull Social as well after the game. I just want to try and find the results for that one. So 1,312 votes, 90.4% voted Bart Verbruggen as our number one. Obviously, it's pretty reactionary, but I think those results would probably be the same every day you are sat now. I think people kind of done with the goalkeeper rotation, but also too maybe just done with Jason Steele. Maybe he's not at it at this level when we've got these cup games and you can get knocked out by one mistake, and these mistakes seem to happen quite a lot. And we just got to really upgrade it. It's one of the most important positions on the pitch, and when you've got someone that's not up to scratch consistently, I think it's definitely time to improve or make changes in that respect. Didn't help. Sorry, this is so long winded. It didn't help that obviously he had that massive chance at the end.
Yeah, because... I only asked you how you were, mate. Jesus.
And now we're 4 minutes in. But yeah, it didn't help that he had that massive chance at the end, because I think that people got even more annoyed at him because the chance to equalise late on fell to our bloody goalkeeper in Brighton fashion. And in true Brighton fashion, XG came back and he was a highest XG with 0.26, which was hilarious. The second highest in the match, which goes to show how shite the match was as well. So, Maz, yeah, I'm really good, absolutely knackered, and yeah, beat after that result against Wolves.
Glad he's not round mine at the minute. My goodness. Jesus. I mean, I tell you what, maybe you need to get back on the alcohol. Maybe that was a good thing for you.
I definitely don't.
Yeah, he's had enough to feed a pub, I think, Ben. But just going back to your point, Ben, I actually agree. I think
which
it was
point,
a great opportunity.
I meant about 18 in that.
Oh, about playing Coventry. I think that was my biggest gripe, is knowing that we had Coventry in the next round. That was my biggest frustration. I agree with you, Ben. I was so frustrated that, yeah, it wasn't about, and again, I agree with you, like we might not have even won that game against Coventry, but at least put us in that situation to potentially beat them and play them. So I think, yeah, I was most frustrated about the fact that we didn't get through to the next round. It wasn't even about the loss itself. It wasn't even about how we performed. It was more so the fact that we missed out on opportunity to play Coventry for a chance to play at Wembley. So yeah, I do agree with you on that point as well. And yeah, we will definitely be talking about Jason Steele. And yeah, let's talk about the game in brief. We're going to keep it short because, yeah, we're going to talk about other stuff. But just briefly, let's talk about the game and sort of, you know, maybe let's focus more on key players and more about the game as a whole rather than pinpoint moments. But yeah, for the goal, let's start straight away. 2 minutes in, Bellegarde skin poopy on. I think Moda lost the ball. And then, yeah, Bellegarde skins poopy on and puts a cross in, which Jason Steele does not handle and does not do well with it. So yeah, falls to Lamina and he makes it 1-0. And 2 minutes in, you're thinking, right, it's going to be one of those nights, I think, for Brighton and Albion. But yeah, Ryan, let's start with you. With regards to that Jason Steele, because obviously Ben gave his point of view, what's your thoughts on the whole Jason Steele and let's talk about the rotation as well, of De Zerbi playing Jason Steele in the FA Cup, whereas he could have stuck with Verbruggen, who's been on a good run of form at the moment. Do you agree with his decision?
Oh, I thought Verbruggen should play, of course, but the actual goal itself was quite comedic timing if you're a neutral, because obviously my cousin was round. Shout out Theo, he deserves a shout out. He's a nice kid, and he's a Chelsea fan, right? And don't get me wrong, he's not a plastic Chelsea fan. He does actually go to games. He's pretty Chelsea, to be fair to him. Anyway, Sanchez, Caicedo, absolute calamity at the back. Leeds go 1-0 up about 5 minutes before. And I'm going absolutely sad. Sanchez, do you remember Palace Sanchez? All that sort of stuff, right, to him. What happens 2 minutes into our game? Honestly, that is the most... If you could have written karma in letters of football, it would have spelt out that goal. So, I definitely ate my words in that exact moment. It's not pretty, is it? Let's face it. I can't bring myself to watch it back, and I haven't done. But... I don't know. I don't know. I don't. I think that it's a very bad moment, of course. But do I think that it's ultimately, I think the whole game in itself, we just weren't that good, if you know what I mean. Like, we just weren't that good. We didn't really create anything, as you say. Still literally had our best chance of the game. And don't get me wrong, there's a huge, huge crisis of injuries at the moment. And I think that's we just have to feel it at the moment. And that's what it is. I think luckily, as we say, tomorrow, we've got players back. And that is one good thing. We've got, what, four big bonuses there with Veltman, Ferguson, Welbeck, and there's Lampton. One other that I've missed as well now, and I'm going to be Tarek. That's the one. Thank you. So we've got some big players back there. So yeah, that's definitely going to help us in terms of the overall game.
Yeah, and Ben, with regards to still, we know your thoughts. You were very thorough in that examination, so thank you for that. So we won't get your thoughts on the Steele selection. You've made
also through his legs, by the way. Which made it even funnier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And also, just quickly, because, yeah, I was watching back the highlights and there was moments with Steele, he just looked shaky in general. There was after the goal, he had that cross that came in and he sort of flapped at it and missed it. Obviously, that back pass from Igor as well, which was a poor back pass in all fairness. But yeah, he had to like slide in and tackle Bellegarde. So there was moments of shakiness from Steele in general. And I think it was unfair on Verbruggen to... to miss out the other night. But yeah, De Zerbi obviously had his reasons why. But yeah, going away from that, what players impressed you? Because there was a few changes. Obviously, we spoke about Campupion coming in. Obviously, Yakimoda started. There was a few players that came in that probably wouldn't have got the chance had it not been for the injuries. Did anyone stand out for you? Just in general, it doesn't have to be out of those two or three, but just in general.
I mean, it was great seeing the CISO. I feel like as soon as he came on, was an instant impact. Another instant impact was Danny Welbeck. I feel like we looked like we were going to score when he came on the pitch. That was the best probably moment after he came on. Barco, that was so exciting to see him play. I'm sure we'll talk about him and his potential.
Yeah. Just quickly on Barco, it was quite funny because obviously, and Ryan, you would have been at the press conference and you would remember De Zerbi's comment saying that Barco's, you know, far away from the first team. He's not going to get an appearance. And then you see him pop up with 10 minutes to go. And I did enjoy that. I thought it was quite funny from De Zerbi saying he's far from it.
Yeah, is he joking when he does that? Or is he just like all of a sudden going, oh, actually, no, we do need him. Let me throw him in the mix.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan might know more than me, but...
Or he say, maybe he actually believes that he's not ready, but obviously he's like, well, I have to play him because we've got an injury crisis and we need people.
I think that's more real.
Yeah, maybe that'd be why, but I don't know. But yeah, it was good to see him. But yeah, and Tiso, instant impact. Got fouled like three times in quick succession from Sarabia and was just causing him problems straight away. And he looked sick as well. Those small shorts, gloves on, short sleeves, just looked the part. And yeah, repping that number 10 well.
Yeah, no, definitely. And Ryan, just on the whole Barco situation and, of course, Enciso looking good as well. Yeah, can you give us any insight as to maybe why Barco did come on and play when De Zerbi said he wouldn't?
I think De Zerbi was more managing expectations of fans more than anything, more than, you know, if he comes out and says he is as good as he is, it's going to be one of them that... You know, everyone's going to put too much weight on his shoulders from he needs time. He's going to be like Facundo. He's going to be like Enciso. He's young, so he's going to have a lot of time. I think he did get asked today in today's embargoed section, and I'm really sorry for forgetting who he said it. I think it was Darren Howard, so I'll give him the credits if that is right. But Barco today, obviously this will go out after the embargo is over anyway. But I would say he said about him again, and obviously said, he's played 20 minutes, he played well, 15, 20 minutes. He said, but let's face it, like, you know, he's still going to have that time. He's still going to have that sort of settling in. So, yeah, he's a great talent, mate. Like, he's so, so exciting. And it's probably one of them that I've been dying to see, you know, like a proper skillful techie player that sort of knows where to go. And I think that's really good. That we haven't really had someone like that. He's a bit different maybe to what we've had before. And on Enciso, actually, funnily enough, I said about Enciso today. And again, it was a similar sort of thing. Again, this will come out after embargo, so it's fine. And he said again about Julio, he said he's really good. He's really happy for him. He's really proud of him. I think he said a couple of weeks back that Julio is the most dedicated player or the most motivated player in the team, in terms of he wants to go, he's so motivated. And obviously to have that at his skill set, mate, to see him back, as you say, Ben, he looked like he was coming back as a senior player now, whereas we probably looked at him maybe a little bit as a youth raw player. So yeah, he's a big name for us. He's only going to get better as well. He's so excited. But yeah, two huge names. They are, when you look at the future of Brighton over Albion, I think Valentin Barco and Julio Enciso, Facundo Buonanotte are going to be three names that you have to say in the same breath.
That's mad, isn't it, to think. Do you think, obviously, Barco wearing number 19, I can't remember if we spoke about it in the last episode, do you think Sarmiento's time now at Brighton is done, or am I looking into a number situation too much?
I personally think they're very different players, and I don't think they'll be utilised in the same manner. I could be well off it there. But
no, so I guess it's more just, not as in they're the same player, but more as in like where does Sarmiento fit in? Who does he start ahead of? Like, where is he in
unless Sarmiento wants to come as a first-team starter, I think he's going to be... It won't be that. I don't think he's going to come into the team and start. But if he's willing to be part of the squad and be willing to be a squad player for the first season, like back, because we all know he's injury prone, he's, you know, he's not exactly got the best track record when it comes to injuries. We can't rely on him to be a starter. I just don't think. Same with Tak Lamptey. We can't rely on him to be in the squad every time. So, me personally, yeah, I would love to see
some reality with Tarek, innit?
Yeah, exactly. And it's been proven just, what, last week, 2 weeks ago, whenever he got injured. So, yeah, he's
back for the weekend. It's
yeah.
all right.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
And then for the season.
To answer your question, I think I would love to see Sarmiento because I think he's doing really well at Ipswich. I'd love for him to come back, just, you know, give it a go for next season as a squad member, because he hasn't actually been part of the squad really, apart from that, 6 month period he had. So I'd love to see him part of the squad, give it a go for a full season. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And then unfortunately, we'll have to part ways if it doesn't, because I think we've got an abundance of talent, especially in those attacking players. Like Ryan's mentioned, just the likes of Nciso, Buonanotte and Barco, in my opinion, are better players already, so to be able to oust them is a tough job in itself.
It's also good to
say as well, Valentin Barco and Facundo both got called up for Argentina today, sorry Ben, along with obviously Alexis McAllister, so you know, huge experience. Remember when McAllister first got called up, he came back like a different player. So to be mixing with the don't even need to name the talents in that Argentine squad, it's going to be only big for them.
That's sick. Yeah, and also I noticed that Barco is taking set pieces, at least on the left-hand side. Don't know if that's going to be a thing going forward every time he comes on, because Pascal Gross was still on the pitch.
Set piece taker,
sure.
Barco, wasn't he?
That's cool. That's a really good thing to have, because we're pretty light. And I know Gross is an incredible delivery, but after that, it's just, we don't really have many, to be honest.
I heard something about the sort of mould of players that Brighton are going for now, like technique striker of the ball, like... So how do I explain that? So someone that's going to either take a shot and actually get it on target. Look at Julio. You look at to be fair, we don't really have many at the moment. But then we looked at like Kieran Dewsbury-Hall. Obviously, we looked at Valentin Barco. They're sort of players that are going to have a bit of technique, ball strikers. So obviously not directly set piece takers, because that's something you look at up on FIFA. Mm-hmm. But someone that can actually connect with the ball well, which is, let's face it, it's not a very common trait. Like, not many players have a. Especially Brighton players, how many times we get ourselves into a shooting position and just fluff it? So yeah, we've definitely needed that, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And finally, on set piece as well, I'm sure you guys have noticed it as well, we start to do this like train little formation now, aren't we, for set pieces, for corners especially. So that could come into play if we have those right set pieces. Obviously Pascal Gross is a great deliverer of the ball, but yeah, if we've got an addition to Pascal to be able to deliver those balls in, hopefully, and we'll get ourselves in a set piece coach like Arsenal, we'll be flying.
Yeah, I was going to say, we need Arsenal, don't we, because he's unbelievable. As soon as they keep scoring from set pieces, it's a joke. I think, yeah, they got the most set pieces in the Prem, haven't they? But outside of penalties, which is insane. Yeah, they absolutely love it. Like, no, we should do it. Like, we got some big players to aim at. Van Hecken and Dunk should be very threatening in the box, but we just don't seem to be able to utilise them.
Yeah. And then just quickly...
Have you seen Barco on pens as well? I don't know if you saw his penalty. Sorry, Bans. That's right. For his penalty at Boca. You see?
Is he?
His technique is mad. Like he walked up. You know the typical, who was it used to do it? Was it Pogba? Very bad tie with Pogba actually. But you know, like that sort of stroll up to the ball.
To be honest, sorry,
really slow, and then he just side.
Barco could
it
do
the
with that
way.
Doping.
It's crazy.
Barco could do with the doping that Pogba was using, because he was using apparently he was using the same drug that Messi used, which made him obviously taller. I think it's DHMA, isn't it?
I know which one you're on about, but
right. So yeah, hopefully we can sneakily get Barco some, because he's quite sore.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, sorry, I'm joking.
Yeah, just inject him.
Yeah,
inject
that would be mad actually, seeing Barco step up as our penalty taker. And also, if that does happen with a silly run up like that, people are just going to get wound up by that so much, I can imagine, especially if he misses. Brighton up, the old Brighton boys will be like, fucking hell, just take it properly, run up there, put your foot through it.
Neil Mopay part two, hopefully, fingers crossed, but a better player with respect. Anyway, let's move on to the next point. So Carlos Baleba as well, I want to talk about him quickly, because he also made a cameo and he got a bit of stick from our fans I saw online. A lot of people saying that he didn't really step up when there was an opportunity for him to do so. Again, I just want to start with you, Ryan. Do you think that criticism is warranted towards Baleba? And how do you see Baleba's development going this season?
Just needs time. Like, I think I covered Baleba at the beginning of the season. Like, you've got a player that's come from abroad to replace someone that's just gone, that's so significant in Caicedo and McAllister, as we knew was going to be so hard to replace. So we needed a ready-made replace it. We needed an experienced player. We needed to be boring and maybe spend a little bit more money. But we didn't. We went for our, you know, traditional thing, but you know, as I said in the past, you know, you've got Bissouma was ready to step up, and then Bissouma's gone. You've got Caicedo ready to step up. We didn't really have that. So he put too much trust probably in someone that wasn't even starting games for Lille. So yeah, I think he's 19 when we signed him. I think because he looks a bit older than he is, because he's quite big, isn't he? He's quite broad. But he's just a kid. Like, he's just a kid. I've seen him in the training ground reception watching TikTok on full volume. The kid's literally a kid. So he's all right. Like, he's just chilling and he's waiting for his taxi. But yeah, I think it's just, you know, these players need time, mate. They're very young. They're very, 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 very young. And I think people sort of forget it. You know, he's, what, 4 years younger than I am. And that's a bit scary in itself. I mean, when I was 19, I just started this podcast. So again, like, look at the first ever podcast episode against
that's
this
so
one.
Funny.
Yeah, I'd like true. To hope I've changed a little bit since then. So, you know, it's just time, mate. It's just time. I think the same thing applies, Maz, with Ansu Fati. I saw a lot of... I didn't agree with some of the criticism I was reading on Ansu.
And Evan Ferguson really as well.
Evan Ferguson again. Mate, kid's 19. One of them's 20. Ansu's come with a big name. I get it. He's come from Barcelona. He's had a big injury. I don't know if you guys saw that thing with Venio, but it's quite close with Ansu Fati. He's literally one of the softest guys, and he reads his own name. He's really sensitive. So he's one of them. He needs an arm around him. You see him around... De Zerbi's for pasta, right? Because these players, some of them need a bit more of an arm around them. They don't want to see all that stuff. They're not quite as ready to take it as some are, which is probably why you see he's gone from Barcelona to Brighton. It's a huge step down. Of course it is. There's no denying that. Massive step up, mate. We're a huge club as big as Barcelona. But no, that's what I'm trying to get at anyway. I'll stop waffling it. But yeah, that's it really. I think that you just need them. Young players need time. Is essentially what it always will come down to. Let's face it, it's only been, 8 months since we were talking about this at the beginning of the season. Not even that.
Yeah. And just a quick, brief one from you, Ben, on this. Let's focus on the more, you know, the ones that may be out of form or looked at as being out of form, like the likes of Ferguson's, the Belabers. And would you put, like, for example, Moda in there? You know, Moda's come back and hasn't exactly set the world alight since he's coming back. So, yeah, that kind of group of players that are maybe in the middle at the moment in terms of form, what do you think needs to change? What needs to happen for them to maybe hit that form again?
I mean, a run of games. I guess you can't really expect Moda to just be chucked in there and change the game and carry us to the next round of the FA Cup, to be honest. Although that would be nice, and I know he had a chance, but he just needs a run of games. Like, I imagine his match sharpness is in the mud. Like, he's just been thrown in there after not playing for, 1.5 years almost? It's insane. You could have, like, two kids in that time, almost, I think. And he has been playing football
for
the whole time.
What a weird analogy. That just reminds me of that Dylan White meme. That Dylan White meme. He's like, what a weird analogy.
Yeah, it's not really relevant though, is it? I don't know. You can't really expect too much, can you, from players that are just being chucked in all of a sudden. Although you would like to think that Belabor could hopefully find his feet sooner rather than later for the sake of the team. But again, it just goes back to our transfer policy. This is going to happen with the team when we have injuries and these young players come in that we're going to have to rely on. We always want that instant signing, like an instant impact, an instant replacement for Caicedo, but it's not going to happen, unfortunately. Although, saying that, apparently there's all those pretty trustworthy sources saying that we are going to be heavily backed in the summer. Bloom wants to really solidify us as a top team in the Prem. So if that is true, then that'll be unbelievable if we can actually money.
We have to. There's no choice.
If we have that money, we've got so much money, surely, to spend. Todd Bowley's given us $225 million now. After all these youth players, Zach Sturge and the other lad have gone. I think that was like $7.5 million for both of them. $225 million. Where's that money? Just go and spend it. That'd be great. And then we won't have these issues and we won't lose to Wolves in the FA Cup. We'll be going to Wembley.
And Ryan, just quickly from you.
No, I agree. I completely agree. I completely agree. And I think that's what it is. Don't get me wrong, I don't want us to just spend money for the sake of spending money. You've got that problem of players on too much wages. You know, sometimes money isn't equivalent to success. Of course it's not. But at the same time, you know, it's numbers, it's players, it's things like that. You know, Zerbi said again today that it's that, you know, he said in the summer he was dreaming on the beach, right? He said, I was chilling. He said, I'd sunbathing. He said, and I was thinking, Kari Mitoma, Solly March, João Pedro. But now he's going to finish the season with none of them, pretty much. I mean, João Pedro might be back after the international break. But do you get what I'm trying to say? So you've got three players there that are top class, but we've had to replace them with players that are young, that aren't ready. And I think until we get it in our heads that we're not going to be the team that we were, it's the better. And I think we're actually playing... I think this is a better season. We're doing better so far this season than we are last. 100%. And I don't think people quite get that in their head. We are doing better this season. If we get into the top eight this season, there's a better achievement of finishing top six last season. 100%. Yeah, and the fact we've even got this far is a massive achievement. With what we've got, mate, it's a dream. I don't think people quite appreciate it enough because of what we lost. And to answer your question on what do these players need, they need to play in a team of experience, because we can't just put a bunch of young players in together and expect them all to play straight away. They need to be met balanced, and they don't have that balance. They haven't got, you know, it's a bit harsh, really. So that's what it is.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Love it. Well, let's move on. I've got two more points before we speak about Roma. So the next point I want to just quickly bring up, and I think... We're guilty as a podcast that obviously, of course, we're a Brighton podcast, but we don't really talk about the opposition as much. But I just wanted to give credit to Wolves because they are on a good run of form at the moment. And Gary O'Neill is doing a fantastic job of Wolves. And, you know, there was a few players the other night, Neto, Bellegarde, Tommy Doyle, who won man of the match, all stood out for me. And I thought, you know, they look like a very good side. So my question on this is, and we'll start with you, Ben, Gary O'Neill... again, I don't want to go too much into it because we are a Brighton podcast at the end of the day, but just quickly, how impressed have you been with his, the way he's shaped? Because I think we've always had a good success against Wolves, usually. You know, we like to play Wolves, but they were tough to beat the other night. And, you know, if you look at it on the balance of it, we would definitely deserve the draw, but Wolves came away with the win and they defended resolutely and came away with the win. So, yeah, quickly, a little bit on Gary O'Neill.
I mean, yeah, you'd be weird to not like him, I think, unless I guess you're a West Brom fan. It's class. I think what he's done is incredible. I think the reason why Lopetegui left was because of the whole money issues, wasn't it? Wasn't going to get backed. So, I mean, Gary O'Neill wasn't really coming into a stable club at that point. Don't get me wrong, he's got great players, better players than he did at Bournemouth. And he's already got him playing so, so well, which is, hats off to him. He's not like the classic sexy manager, but he's a solid, solid manager, and fair play that he's still in the Prem, because I think after Bournemouth, obviously everyone said that was unfair because he's done an incredible job. I was surprised that when Wolves all of a sudden went for him, but yeah, he's doing a really, really good job there, and I'm happy for him because if he can get Wolves to Wembley, then that would be a very, very good achievement for him. 100%. So yeah, no, good idea to give us an opportunity to give him his flowers though, man.
Yeah, and Ryan, just quickly... on Gary O'Neill, and I was on a chat earlier with shout out to Dan, 12 man podcast. I was having a chat and I got asked, do Wolves finish above Brighton now? Because, and the reason why that got brought up was because they're only 6 points off Man United, which if they win tomorrow, they're only 3 points behind with Man United playing against Man City on the weekend. So my question is, do you think Wolves are strong enough to finish above us? And yeah, if you want to give a little bit about Gary O'Neill, you're more than welcome.
Well, if you're a Wolves fan, you'd like to hope so, wouldn't you? I mean, if you can't, if you can't get above a team that's full of 18, 19 year olds, you've got to be wondering what's going wrong. I mean, yeah, you'd think that they should, but I don't know. But you know, we're a good team. I think our focuses are in the Europa League. You know, until if Roma knock us out next week, it's, you know, a different ball game. I think maybe it might change my opinion. But you'd think that their aim would be to finish above us. Yes, they should be. If they didn't think that, you'd think, what's wrong with Wolves? As opposed to what's you know, I think. The amount of money they've got some good players. Cunha's a good player. I couldn't care less about Gary Neal doing well. Sorry, I'm just spamming a negative bangs table reaction on Football Manager here. But I just, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, I don't know. I feel like they should be above us because they've got a full team and they've got a good team. They've got a decent manager and we've got half a team and we're just scrapping what we got. So by that logic, yes, they should be above us. If they're not, again, as I said before, best achievement ever would be getting into the top eight of the Premier League this season because of what we got. It really is.
And then
can't emphasise that enough.
And that's a very good segue on to my final point before we get on to Roma. Injuries. So we have got quite a few now, 9 in total. And I believe, if my maths is correct and my research is correct, that's the fourth highest in the Premier League. I believe only Liverpool and... third highest? Yeah, it might be third.
Yeah, Newcastle.
But Liverpool got 14, and then yeah, we've got 9. So, look, it's not looking great on that front. Obviously, Matoma looking likely out for the rest of the season, which is a big blow to us, of course. And yeah, we're missing some key players. But like Ryan mentioned earlier, 4 players coming back is great. But João Pedro would be nice, wouldn't it, lads? Ahead of a very... busy period for us because obviously we've got Europa League as well as the Premier League and no FA Cup anymore, which might be a blessing in disguise maybe. But Ben, let's start with you. On injuries, do you think it could derail our season, or do you think with what we've got right now available to us, we're okay and we can get through the next couple of weeks to a month maybe?
I think we can get through it, to be honest. It's just, yeah, when you got that Matoma news at the beginning of last week, or was it the end of last week? I can't really remember. I'm just thinking, oh, really? Just, I was really looking forward to seeing Matoma play against Roma. That would have been quite something. Like, it's one of the big, well, the biggest game in our club's history almost. And you want to have your best players and your star players at that game. So for him to miss out on that is, yeah, that's pretty heartbreaking. But then on the flip side, great timing, and Ciso comes back. And yeah, and you've already got someone to kind of fit in that role or at least replace him. So there are positives that you've got players coming back, but it's just a little frustrating then when you've got your star players also being out for the rest of the season, not just a few weeks. He's completely done. It has been really, really frustrating this season because just to think that how much better we'll be doing in the league if we didn't have these injuries. Like Deserbi was saying, like what Ryan said about him dreaming in the summer, that was incredible hearing him say that because I always dream about like the best team that we can play. And imagine if we could go to Rome with João Pedro, Matoma in March and a full-strength team, that there'll be no doubt in my mind that we would beat them because we would be so, so good. And on our top form, on our day, we are incredible. So to be able to be going to these big games without star players is very tough and, yeah, so frustrating this season.
Yeah, and Ryan, finally from you on injuries. Ben made a point of, you know, players returning. Obviously, that is a great thing, obviously. With regards to replacing Matoma, who do you think should take that berth?
Well, it's got Ansu, Julio. I think it's difficult, isn't it? Obviously, Adingra goes left as well, is better there. Didn't look so great against Wolves, but tired, been at AFCON, come back, had a good game. So yeah, I'd probably say Adingra on the left. I'd probably put Francisco. I don't think he'll start yet, to be fair. I think it'd be Facundo again. Again, I think Facundo's better in the middle. So then you could balance that way. So you could have, like, in a dream world when Ciso is completely fit and can start a game, you'd obviously have Ciso on the right, probably slash sort of coming up front a little bit. And then you'd have Adingra on the left coming sort of in the middle. And then you've got Facundo sort of down the middle. My bigger problem, to be honest, is Gilmore being out. That's my problem. I can't for me, I struggled to think. I no disrespect to Modo, obviously he's only played two games since April 2022. It's harsh to say that, but doesn't quite fill that gap of Gilmore for me. Not to slight on him at all. Not saying that. Just quality differences, isn't it? We've improved as a club. We've signed better players. That's all it is. And I think Gilmore just is a good player. So for me, he's a big miss in midfield, and I don't quite know who goes there. As we say, Belaba's not quite ready. So that's for me a bigger miss at the moment, because I trust the young boys to go and put on a show. You know, you trust Nsisi, you trust Facundo, you know, because you're just going to put your faith in him to do it. And if he don't, we got Benicio, we got the next crop. That's what's good. We have got a good sort of young crop of players, if that makes sense. Yeah. Hungry.
A factory line of players coming through. I like it. But boys, yeah, just...
But no Caicedos.
No Caicedos, yes. That is a very depressing point there, Ryan. So thank you for that. Right, let's move on, shall we?
Kobbie Mainoo, mate.
Kobbie Mainoo, yeah. Should we just
sign... We need someone like that, a proper... But you know what I mean? You need that... It's so hard to create that mould of player. Mm. But to create that mould of player, if we ever did that, we're on to a winner. That's it, we're done, we're finished. We've completed football at that point. In terms of factory creating footballers.
Yeah, that's the dream, isn't it? Let's move on, boys, to Roma. We haven't covered that. So, yeah, just to summarise, obviously, Wolves, disappointing, but we move on. We go on, and it's the Europa League.
Forget Molyneux, we're going to Rome, mate. That's
exactly
insane.
Stadio Olimpico. That is actually mad to say, isn't it, as Brighton fans. So we're going to Stadio Olimpico. But, yeah, let's talk about that. Let's react to the draw. Ben, you have booked your tickets. You've got your ticket, match ticket
flights
as well.
Flights
are calm, everything's sorted.
How on God's green earth have you managed to get a flight out there, mate? That's what I want to know.
A lot of money. I don't want to say, but it was a lot of money. I just bit the bullet. I'm going from Stansted.
That's what put me off, yeah, at 6 a.m. sadly.
But it is, yeah, I'm not going to say the figure, but it was a lot. You could go to Dubai and back and then America and then back into Australia for the price that I paid for a flight. But it was more of a YOLO moment. I was chatting to Maz at the time. I was like, should I do it? And it's just like, YOLO, fuck it. If you know, when we're
catfishing in Bottleman's concerts,
when we're old and wrinkled, and we'll look back on times, I think to say that we've been and done, like, I would have had massive regrets probably if I didn't do it. And it's incredible. Like, to get Roma is insane. I mean, it was Milan and Roma, probably like the two, what's they call them? The ties, what were they? What did Glenn Murray call it on the Be It Brighton podcast? Sexy that? Ties. How would you describe the Milan and Rome as the ties you could get? What did he say?
Oh, as in like, yeah, the most attractive proposition.
Dream.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I can't remember. Anyway, yeah, those two were like up there. So to get one of them was incredible. We haven't had it easy, have we? We got fucking Ajax, Athens, and Marseille in the groups. Didn't get any farmers at all to play. And now we've got Roma. So, like, they're giving us all the big teams. It's nice. And De Rossi's comments before about not wanting to face Brighton or Leverkusen, and they were the two teams that you didn't want to get, left out Liverpool, which is quite funny. But now it's De Zerbi versus De Rossi. De Zerbi's going back in Italy. I'm sure he's absolutely buzzing with that as well. So the story's there, ready to be written. And if we can have a memorable trip, Fatboy Slim as well. I just hope, yeah, I hope we get a win or good result, and then that was them in the evening.
On that, Ryan, Ben's just brought it up. De Zerbi versus De Rossi. How much more motivated do you think De Zerbi's going to be going back to Italy to face an Italian side? And obviously, who does he support? Is he a Napoli fan, isn't he? Or is he, don't want to say he's a Napoli fan? Anyway, Brescia, yeah. So I don't know if they've got any beef with Roma, but hopefully they do. So it gives him an extra incentive. But yeah. On that, how do you think he's going to deal with going back to Italy, and do you think it's going to be a happy return for him?
He's unbeaten against Roma, from Ryan saying, I think. So, you know, it's another one where we...
You're on mute, Ben.
Ben, you're on mute.
Sorry, I thought he had a horrendous record against him. It's like he's only won once in seven games and lost like four or something like that. I'm pretty sure that's what I saw.
Oh, I read that he was unbeaten in three, but as a manager, I don't know. I probably read that off some dodgy Twitter feed, to be fair. I haven't researched it myself because I couldn't be bothered. But yeah, I think he's, you know, he's going to help that he knows the league, he knows the teams, but it's Europa League. It's a tough competition, as we know. I'm a bit worried going out there, if I'm being honest. I'm still searching for a flight. As far as I'm concerned, I should be there. But as I don't know, it depends on the flights, because I'm not spending my life's wages on that, because I just can't justify it. But until that happens, maybe I'll get a YOLO moment like Ben, and I'll go see the fire that is the Zerbi against De Rossi, because the good thing for us Albion fans is that the returning fixture's at home, and that's something that we should be excited about, because that will be a special yeah. night. As long as we don't go out there and get whacked 3-0.
I was just about to say, Ryan, how important is it for us to go to the Stadio Olimpico and give ourselves a fighting chance in the second leg?
Yeah, just go there. Draw 0-0, 1-0 win if we can nick it. I'd happily go out there and be Sean Dyche FC, park the bus. Like, if it's necessary, just get by that 90 minutes and get a goal if we can. I know that won't be Brighton. We'll go there to win. We'll go there to fight, and that's it. But I'd like us to just come back with something and not concede too many goals or look a bit shaky. But it's a tall order, mate. It'll be a very, very, very tough night. Probably the toughest night Brighton have ever had to face yeah. in terms of competitiveness yeah. in their history.
Just reading De Rossi versus De Zerbi, you said, Maz. There's a quote here from De Zerbi going, De Rossi is a big friend. Our daughters are very big friends and I have big respect for him. I knew before he started to work at Roma he could be a good coach, because as a player he showed great personality. Yeah. So they're obviously close. If their daughters are both very good friends, it's even more of an interesting tie now.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that could, you know, that could play into our hands, or it could be a bad thing, you know, obviously them being friends. I'm sure they're going to have mutual respect. We might not see that fire and that passion that he usually shows against other managers, maybe. He might be a bit more respectful from that perspective. But I'm sure he still have the same tactics and, like Ryan said, the same will to win going to Rome. But, oh, no, I agree.
The glamour tie.
Oh, you finally got it. Well done, mate. Right. Yeah, well, a final thing for me on this, yeah, on the Roma tie, yeah, an incredible, incredible one. I'm the same with you as you, Ryan. I'll happily even take a 1-0 loss. I just don't want us to be too open and too expansive where it could bite us, we shoot ourselves in the foot and we go and concede three or, you know, potentially four. And then we're just completely out of the tie and the second leg is completely irrelevant. You don't want that. You want to come back to Brighton and, you know, the home fans actually have a reason to be optimistic. And unless we do a bloody Liverpool and Barcelona comeback, then, of course, you never know. But you don't want to put yourself in that position where you're 3-0 down, 4-0 down in the first leg and you have to go back to the Amex and try and score a bucket load of goals against a very, you know, notoriously tough defences to break down the Italians. So you don't want to be doing that.
Oh, my God. They've got some good players, haven't they? And they've got some players Dybala, that you wouldn't want to be
Lukaku.
Facing. Lukaku, they got that Iranian Messi guy, Azmoun.
He's not that good, don't worry, lads. He's not that good.
Is he not? Okay. El Shaarawy, who I've always loved. But this is the one player who is probably up there with Mope, with shithousery, and just being one of them players you love to have in your team but hate playing against. Probably Leandro Paredes, they've got him. Hassim Awar, he's a bit of a technically gifted midfielder, was always linked with Arsenal. Lorenzo Pellegrini, I'm pretty sure, was their captain. He's unbelievable in midfield, so... Yeah, they've got some sick players. I'm quite nervous now looking at their team.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting tie.
All 83 plus on FIFA, so Ben's now
nervous. Yeah, they got a good rate on FIFA, so Ben's on it. Right, boys, always a pleasure, never a chore. Thank you so much for joining me and allowing me to host. Do you want to do it in this episode?
Yeah, because otherwise
the game's tomorrow. Cool. Right. So, change of plans. We are doing the Fulham preview. Woo! So, let's start.
I'm a different person now.
yeah. Let me just quickly go change my clothes quickly. Oh, it looks like it's on a different pod. No, Ryan, let's start with you. Fulham come into this off the back of a great win against Man United at Old Trafford. 2-1 win. Alex Iwobi scoring a last-minute winner. So, they're going to come into this full of confidence. Does that worry you? Coming off the back of a good result?
Yeah, it does. They're inconsistent FC, don't get me wrong, but then as is pretty much everyone outside of that top three.
Yeah, so are we.
Including us. So yeah. It's inconsistent FC against inconsistent FC. So literally, you couldn't call it at that point. That is a puzzle made for the smartest person on earth, and I still don't think they'll be able to do it. I was even talking to a Fulham fan today, and... Yeah, she didn't have a clue either. She was like, I don't know. And I don't know either. They're inconsistent. They're tough to beat. We have a horrible stinking record against them in the Premier League. We've never beaten them. And they always seem to do us. I think that Palinha's back as well, which isn't great. And we obviously don't have Gilmore. So there's just so many reasons where I'm a little bit negative. But at the same time, we've got some reasons to be positive. As I said, we've got, four players back, big players back. So I think it's just going to be one of them where we'll find out on the day, because it depends which Brighton, which Fulham turns up, because both teams on their day are pretty good teams, to be fair. Mm.
And Ben, with regards to Fulham's team, who are you most worried about? Obviously, you've mentioned a few there. Palinha, obviously, very good in midfield. Alex Iwobi looking good. He's been in good form. Fair play to him. He's even at the AFCON, he looked really sharp. He's looked good since he's come back as well. They've got a few, you know, dangerous players that can cause. And Jimenez as well started to score some goals. He obviously went through a bad time with his injury. Yeah, who are you most worried about tomorrow?
You missed out one, and it's someone that when he got subbed on, Garnacho looked at the bench and went,
Adama Traore.
He is rapid. He's so strong.
I don't think he's good at all. He's a pace merchant.
Just look what Bellegarde done against us.
Just hearing Dan Byrne 2021. Yeah. Go,
all I'm hearing, exactly. You get flashbacks. But no, he can cause problems. All he needs is pace and strength. And then you can pass the ball to someone like Iwobi, who then buries it in the last minute.
His passing is atrocious. So,
well, he got an assist in the last game. But my point is, if we saw what Bellegarde done against us. Yeah, I mean, our defence can be so all over the place sometimes. And just one player can cause that. And he would be the player to do that, to be fair. But yeah, they do have some pretty technically gifted players. They're very different from the side to what they used to be. But yeah, I'm also haunted not only by flashbacks of Dan Byrne. Luckily, we don't have him. But also just, like Ryan said, every time we play them, we seem to somehow not win the game or just not turn up whatsoever. I feel like when we, what was it, under Potter at Craven Cottage a couple of years ago, just didn't turn up when we were probably playing our best football under him. And then, yeah, somehow they get nick results against us. Yeah, it was horrendous. They somehow nick results against us at the Amex. Seems to be draws or Paulinho elbowing someone, not getting sent off, and then scoring as well. Just shit like that. I just really hope we can get over this hoodoo that we seem to have with them.
And with regards to the game then, how do you see it? And Ryan, if you want to kick us off, how do you see it panning out? How do you see this game going? Is it going to be a tactical battle? Is it going to be a physical battle? Is it going to be a boring game? Is it going to be an exciting game? What are your thoughts?
It's going to be Brighton Fulham. And I'll let that one sell itself as it is, because
it's a pretty pants then.
It's going to be Brighton do well. It's going to be Brighton do well for a bit. Fulham do well for a bit. It'll start raining, Fulham score. And then it'll stop raining, Brighton do a bit better. We'll have a few chances, we'll think we're all right. And it'll start raining again, Fulham will score. Do you get what I'm trying to get at here? It's going to be like that. And that's always the same. As far as my memory goes back since the Craven Cottage Lewis dunk moment when Anthony Knockhart was through and it was saved by Button on the rebound from Johnny Cantor. That's the last good memory I have against Fulham, because I can recite it like that. But when I look at pretty much every game since, I don't have a good memory. And I don't mean good memory. I mean, I literally don't have a happy moment in any of them times. So I would be very surprised if that changes tomorrow. Am I going? Yes, of course I am. Did I say I'd ever go there again? I said I'd absolutely not. But it's what you do, isn't it? And I'll see you on Putney Bridge, disappointed as always, trying to get home as quickly as I physically can.
Walking through that forest after a 3-0 defeat. Can't wait.
Yeah, unbelievable scenes. Well, all right. And then on that note then, on that depressing note, Ben... Score predictions.
I can't imagine it being a thriller. I can't remember the last Brighton thriller, to be honest.
The thriller in Manila.
Well, I guess when we spanked Sheffield
slash
Friday,
Craven Cottage.
Yeah. What's the score? It's would it be 1-1? Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Unless we all suddenly have a massive change of heart and suddenly don't look like the team that played against Wolves, then we'll be all right. But if we play like we did against Wolves, then it's going to be tough.
On that though, Ben, I don't think we played that badly against Wolves. It's just, we weren't...
In front of goal, we were horrendous. Like, we just did not want to take a shot. It looked like if you took a shot, a member of your family would be... Actually, I'm not going to say it, but you'd catch my drift. No one wanted to shoot. No one was shooting. It just seemed like there was an issue there. And if we're... you can't win a football match if you don't shoot. Just fucking shoot.
No, I do get that. But I think it's harsh to say we were shite against Wolves. I think we weren't
I don't think great. I said shite. I just said we weren't great.
Okay, fair enough. Right, and then Ryan, score prediction.
I spoke to Al, you know, Albin Animated, Gaz. I asked him today, I said, what do you reckon the score's going to be, mate? He said, 4-0 Brighton. I said, what do you drink, mate? If that happens, I'll give you whatever you want. And he said he drinks Guinness. So it looks like I could be over there soon.
To be fair, Ryan, if that happens. To be fair, my mate, and shout out G, he actually predicted 4-1 Palace before the game. So, and I couldn't believe him at all. And he ended up winning loads of money. So fair play to him. Oh, 4-1, yeah.
Well, I could be a bit Guinness down on him by tomorrow, but if it happens, fair enough. But I still would be surprised. I think maybe the 1-1 does look good, Ben, if you're a betting man. I'll back the boys. I always do. I always say we're going to win, because what's the point of saying we're going to lose? There's no point going, is there, otherwise? But I'll say we're going to win 2-1. It's a boring scoreline, I know. In fact, no, I'll say 2-0. I'll say 2-0, because... luck's got to change at some point, isn't it? Like, I think as long as Verbruggen plays, sorry, not to disrespect Steele, but as long as Verbruggen plays, I'd like to fancy a chance. We are a good team, let's face it. So,
yeah.
2-0.
And I'm going to go with 1-0 Brighton, just to be positive. But deep down, I'm not positive, because it'll be our first ever win, as Ryan said, in the Premier League against Fulham, which will be huge. And then final question, boys, really, really, really quickly. In regards to the starting lineup, we touched on it in the pod earlier, but in the starting lineup, to replace Gilmore and to replace Mitoma, Ben, who do you want to see start the game?
I would actually like to see Belaba start over Moda. I think I have more faith in Belaba being a game changer than Jakob Moda. I'm still living off Belaba's performance against Liverpool. That was incredible. So there is a player in him and he can do it. Hopefully he can do it against Fulham. So yeah, Belaba and for Gilmore would be my option. Just a bit more physicality.
Like 6 months ago, man.
That's a long time ago.
And Mitoma, Ben?
And who?
Who are you playing instead of Mitoma?
Oh,
yeah, fair reaction, to be fair. Who? Yeah. We haven't seen him in 3 months, so it's very bad.
Yeah, maybe a Ding or Fatty, and then a Dinger, or maybe on the right with Welbeck up front and Ciso behind, because Ciso could be that game changer.
Okay, Ryan.
Yeah, I sort of went over it, didn't I? But I'd probably say I'd stick with probably Moda, just because there's a bit more experience there. And I'm not trying to sound boring, but sometimes you do need a bit of experience in midfield, especially going away. Against a good team. And then I would say Adingra left, Fatty right, Ferguson up front, not against Welbeck, but Welbeck's better off the bench. He always scores off the bench. That's why I'm saying it. Ferguson off the bench, meanwhile, not so good. And then Facundo central. Bash.
I like it. I like it a lot. I agree with you, actually, on Ferguson. I do agree. I think he's ineffective off the bench, but I'll be honest,
he's pretty ineffective off the bench, yeah, exactly.
But to be honest with you, he's pretty ineffective starting, so he's not having a great time of it. Let's
time to end it.
Let's be honest. But anyway, right, boys, thank you so much, everyone listening out there, thank you so much for your support. Really appreciate you guys tuning in as per usual. Make sure you hit that like button, subscribe, all that good stuff, and of course Apple and Spotify. Make sure you leave us a comment, leave us a review, and we really do appreciate your support, and we shall see you after the Fulham game, and then we shall be looking forward to Roma.
Holy shit, yeah. Peace.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.